Hello and welcome to Series 2 of the Plant-Based Business Podcast, brought to you by Feevolution. In this show, we explore what it takes to create and scale a plant-based business. I'm Damien Clarkson, and I'm here this week with my co-host, Judine Adell. Each week on this show, we speak to a range of entrepreneurs and investors who are passionate about creating positive, plant-powered change in the world. And this week, we're joined by one of the most talented storytellers we've ever had the pleasure of meeting. Our guest is none other than Adam Biddle, CEO of Ghost. Ghost are a recommendation-only content creation agency who work with some of the best-known celebrities and brands in the world. And they don't even have a website or social media, and Adam hasn't meaningfully posted on social media actually in years. So in this conversation, we talk about things Adam's passionate about, including the importance of building meaningful relationships, building a business that is embedded in the fabric of culture, the importance of an authentic voice for brands, and the role of yoga and mindfulness in his journey. Adam is a true multi-potentialite, and he has already had such a varied career. So prepare to be inspired, and we know you'll get as much from this conversation as we did. Let's get into it.
How are you doing, Adam?
I'm okay. I'm all right.
Cool. So we know each other quite well. You've been involved in Feevolution over the years, and you've been probably our most popular ever speaker at our business events. There's queues of people lining up to basically pick your brains about communications and social media. So firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became an entrepreneur.
I mean, becoming an entrepreneur, I never really think about myself as an entrepreneur as well. I think that's what's quite interesting. Never really sat there and really analysed, you know, oh, I run a business, I'm, you know, employing people. I kind of fell into this. I didn't kind of like, you know, go to business school and go, right, okay, I'm going to become the next Mr. CEO and start an empire and all this sort of stuff. I literally studied music business. From there, I fell into an internship where I worked for free for 8 months, didn't care about anything other than trying to get in the music industry. And then from there, ended up having a job in a social media agency. And then that social media agency was a kind of like before social media was a thing. It's 2009, where, in all honesty, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, like zero idea. and even to this day, I think most people don't have a zero idea when it comes to social media. It's such a complicated subject and topic as well. But back then, it was literally no one really knew anything at all. It was so new. And you know, I was setting up pages for like big like dance DJs and rock stars. It was so surreal because it's like, oh my god, I used to listen to you, or I still listen to you now, and now I'm making a Facebook page for you. And then so that kind of got me first thinking about, okay, I'm in an industry, you know. I got in this industry very, very quickly. And then from there, I ended up being a director of a business that was owned by William Morris. William Morris is a massive, massive company. I mean, they own UFC. They own another company called IMG, which owns the rights to pretty much everything, like Manchester United, all the way through to big golf events, etc. And I was a director of their UK business. Before I even, again, really knew anything, it was just right place, right time, right dedication. And then from there, I went on to set up a business with Vice Media. So I had my own social media agency inside of Vice, was there for 2.5 years. I think it was 2.5 years, might have been even less than that. And then 3 years ago, I set up my own agency, which is where I'm at now. And that's called Ghost. It's a very interesting agency where it doesn't actually have any social media, no website, no marketing, nothing whatsoever. This is about, I guess, as close to PR as it comes. And this isn't even really PR, because I probably won't talk about Ghost. I'll probably talk more about social media in general than at Ghost. We do the following. You know, I'm not that interested in people knowing what Ghost do. We do social media. If it's interesting, you'll find us and you'll get connected to us. If it's not, you won't.
That's interesting that you decided to do that. And it's kind of it's notorious for having no web presence. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that? Because I think people find that really intriguing.
Yeah, it's born out of a couple of things. One is most social media agencies, their website just looks awful. I'm quite happy to go on record and slag people off, by the way, without like trying to be horrible. But it's like, it just doesn't have any vibe. It's just like, hey, we are Social Buzz 101. Want to increase your reach and potential by 55,000,000%? Well, contact us below. Here's our office dog called Pudgy. Woo! That's basically every social media agency. And 9 times out of 10, most of them have no fucking idea what they're doing. From me speaking to them, from, you know, other people that have come to ghost, you know, and gone elsewhere. So we kind of took this approach of, we're just not going to be found. You just can't find us. You can only find us if you're in some way connected to us, whether that be a recommendation from a client, whether that be from somehow meeting one of the members of Ghost in a random environment. Like one of the biggest clients we ever got was through Ministry of Sound's CEO having dinner at a Mexican restaurant, and the owner of that Mexican restaurant knowing someone that owned a massive avocado company. And I somehow managed to know the Ministry of Sound CEO.
That is brilliant.
I think it doesn't really, like, a website from an agency point of view doesn't matter if your product's good. Like, if your product is good and you know what you're doing, a website doesn't really matter for an agency. For other businesses, it's pivotal. I wouldn't sit here and say, oh, no one needs a website. That's ridiculous. Lots of people need a website. But for us, it's all word of mouth. It really is.
I think that's super bold as well, because it's showing like a true belief in what you guys are doing as well. Because I think that's even people that are doing similar things to you, I think they probably do invest a lot of time and money into having that presence online, because, you know, they feel like they need to kind of show the portfolio and to try and attract more clients and doing it in that sort of way. And I think what you guys have done is very, very creative and very innovative. And it's a very bold move, because it could have gone the other way. Like, you could have literally not had, you know, that kind of that presence and that hype. I think because you're not, you know, kind of plastering yourself online, it's build up that hype, and because obviously the fruit is in what you're doing. Like, you're getting recommendations because your work is amazing, and I think that is like such amazing. I think it's such amazing things that you're doing.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend this strategy to anybody. Like, I wouldn't say go and set up a social media agency and don't have a website. I wouldn't recommend it, because it does require certain other elements to work in your favor, which are so much harder to control. That's the main reason, and we haven't ever really needed one. I mean, it might change. There's always conversation about us having something more than literally our website right now just has a flashing logo.
Yeah,
mean anything. It's just basically there because we need a email address, right? We need a website to have an email address. But yeah, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it as a strategy, but for us it's worked. And it works extremely well, because we've also got, you know, Ghost is a 10-year history. So when you do get connected to a client and you do go in there and they're like, I've been told I need to meet you, but I'm not sure why. And then kind of explain the story and the history. It's 10 years, 500 different people we work with on social media, from, you know, world leaders to the biggest brands in the world to the biggest celebrities in the world. No one else has really got that portfolio. So yeah, when you do go in and you do connect, they're just like, oh yeah, cool. You don't need a website. You know, but if I just set it up a year ago and it was just me, then it'd be completely different.
It's the power of the network, right?
Yeah.
You've been building a network through the music industry, through the early days of social media for, you know, over 10 years. And yeah, that's why you're able to kind of skip that step, I guess, that most people would have to create.
Yeah.
There's a hidden authenticity that you can't fake, right? You can't fake 10 years. And also, due to the fact that social media really is, from a business point of view, maybe 8 to 7 years old, really. If you're talking like people actually making money and realizing it's a thing, eight, I'd say. If I'm being generous, I'd say eight.
Yeah, so it's still very young in its infancy, isn't it?
It's so young, it's forever changing, and no one truly understands it. I think that's the most important thing. As soon as you hear anybody say, hey, you know, my name's Terry, I'm a social media guru, run, because they're not. Doesn't exist. Like, you can't be a master of social media. It's just not possible. It's so complex, because you have to be a master of so many things. You have to be a master of psychology, you have to be a master of culture, you have to be a master of content, you have to be a master of strategy, you have to be a master of location and audience. It's endless. You could literally probably list here an hour of all the things you'll be a master of. So There's no such thing as a social media guru or a social media expert, in all honesty. It's purely just people that have more experience and have done it as a living for other people that maybe are more, I guess, a better place to listen to them than others.
I think a lot of people listening to this will probably find a sense of relief in that as well, because I think there's a lot of pressure, especially when you're in your early stages. You don't obviously have a massive team, you don't have a massive budget, and I think there's a lot of pressure on people having to kind of like grow their following and, you know, have this like amazing strategy like straight away. And I think that's like actually a really nice thing to kind of to say, that, you know, there is no such thing as that expert. It's about trying things out and like, and also knowing, I guess, your community and your audience, because I think that's where the real kind of driver is.
It's absolutely like that. So I use this analogy all the time when I'm in meetings, which is social media is very similar to a diet, right? It's forever changing. You're forever finding new foods. One minute you're really into Indian. You're like, I'm only eating Indian right now. Literally, that's it. So that'd be the same as I'm only posting this type of content right now. And then all of a sudden you've completely changed and you've gone fruitarian for like a day. And you've gone, oh, wow, that's way too extreme. I've got to start pulling it back. It's kind of, you know, it's you're forever changing. No one eats the same dinner, lunch, breakfast every single, I'm sure there's some people are, but you know, the majority of people don't do that. And it's very similar with social media. You can never kind of go, this is my perfect diet. I can't move out of this for the rest of my life. It's similar to social media. As soon as you think you understand your content strategy or your audience, something will change.
Yeah. So video is an area we see a lot of plant-based businesses trying to invest time and money into, often without success. What do you think makes for great video content, and what are some practical tips listeners can implement to their video content strategy?
I think there's a couple of things. But before kind of going into like, oh, make sure it's, you know, the first 3 seconds are the most important and all this sort of stuff, maybe it's worth me just explaining really quickly that there's three key things to understand when it comes to social media in general and really in marketing. Because if we can understand these three things, questions like, you know, what's right for video, what's right for Instagram, is TikTok right, is it not right, become a lot easier. And I'll constantly revert back to them probably during the rest of this conversation as well. So the most important thing to think about, right, is social media and marketing in general and being in a business is really down to one thing, and that is relationship to your audience. That's it. It doesn't matter if you're Coca-Cola, if you're Microsoft, or if you've set up vegan pies next door, right? It is all about that first thing. It is, I need to have a great relationship with my customer. Same with social media. I need to have a great relationship with my customer through the medium of social media. Second thing is then understanding that social media is predominantly an attention platform. It is just full of people. Imagine the follow scenario, right? Someone's organized a party. It's about 25 people turned up to the party, but one person is dressed up as a meme when it's not fancy dress. Where does everyone look, right? They all look at the person dressed up as a meme who's walked into the room. So why are you dressed up as a meme? That's hilarious. Oh my God. Everyone starts talking to the meme. Right? That is kind of social media, but 2 billion people. And everyone's kind of dressing up in different fancy dress outfits. People are editing themselves constantly, thinking of new things to do. Like, oh my God. So it is predominantly all about attention. It is just, how do I get attention? What do I need to do to get attention? This is also the reason why social media is a negative as well. We all become obsessed with the attention, right? We don't think necessarily about the positivity. We think more about, okay, I got 10 likes on this last post, but I need 20. Oh, I got 20 on that one. Oh, I'm starting to get 50 on all my posts now. Oh, I'm only getting 10 now, right? We're obsessed with the attention. And social media is predominantly an attention platform. And then the third thing that is so important to understand is relevance. It's like, you have to have relevance in social media, right? If you don't have relevance, you don't exist. Right? That is why people always ask me, I love the, like, why do Coke still market? They don't need to do any marketing. Everyone knows what Coke is. Like, you don't, Coca-Cola doesn't need to market anymore. Neither do McDonald's. Everyone knows they exist. Like, they're everywhere. You don't need to see them anymore. They need to market to maintain their relevance. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't be relevant. And they use relevance as their key driver of marketing. That's why they have young people in adverts. That's why they have all of the, if you look at Coke's marketing, it's genius. It's just, let's just make sure we're relevant to every single audience possible. That's all they look at. They're not talking about anything other than, we're relevant. It's the summer. You must have a Coke because it's the summer, because we've made sure that everyone thinks that when the sun comes out, Coca-Cola is the thing to drink. So those three key principles are absolutely essential just to understand as just a general rule before you do anything. relationship, number one. We live in this crazy world that's just full of attention, number two. And then number three is if your brand and what you're doing is not relevant, you'll just die. Simple as that. So how does that relate to video content? Well, quite simply. First thing is, if you're looking at the first part of a relationship, what are you doing video-wise? Are you just randomly posting, you know, a video here, a video there? Are your videos 20 minutes long? What's the theory behind the videos? What's the theme behind the videos? What value are you adding behind the videos? How is it making people feel? All of these things you then have to start thinking about. So it's the subject matter of the video will understand whether or not it's a relationship-driven product. Second thing is then, okay, attention. We literally, especially on social media, will watch something for a maximum of 20 seconds. Realistically, it's 20, like watch anything, right? Literally every single video we ever make and we look at the retention time never really goes over 20 seconds.
Wow, that's crazy.
Don't matter, doesn't matter who it is. Whether it's, you know, X artist or whether it's massive brand, it just doesn't really last much than 20 seconds. Very hard. Because the reason why, YouTube's different. Take YouTube out of this, I think. I'll mention that right now. YouTube's not a social media platform. It's completely different. So it's very, very hard to plug YouTube into this. YouTube has much longer retention rates because people actually go onto YouTube and they'll search out video content and they'll watch it. But Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, etc., etc. It's a 20-second max platform, really. It really, really is. And within that, the first 5 seconds are the most important. The thing that I literally laugh at the most when I see social media content is if the first 5 seconds of a video are like a slow black pan and like a logo. So it's, yeah, it's just like, you know, welcome to the thing I'm about to tell you. It's like, you've just lost everybody. It's like, you need a punch in the face straight away. It's like, you know, you're seeing this quite a lot, especially on Instagram. You're seeing like, you know, if you were to post one of the talks, right, of Vevolution, the first thing you would post would be the thing that everyone laughs at. That's it, as the clip. It would be literally just like a 2 second clip of, and then I walked into a bar. That's the thing. And then you'd play the rest of the clip. Right, that's the thing. So you, again, it's attention. We need to hook them in, and then hopefully they'll stay and watch a little longer. But if you're making video content for social media that's over 30 seconds, you have to watch your attention rate and work out whether or not people are actually watching more than 30 seconds, because otherwise you're just wasting time. You're better off working out your 90-second video into 3 30-second parts than you are doing one video of 90 seconds.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, because so many videos I see uploaded, and we're guilty of doing that as well, you know, 2 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, am I really going to stay on Facebook and watch a video for 2 minutes? I know as a consumer, the answer is no, so why the hell would anyone else as well? So I think that's really valuable advice.
Yeah, I feel like we're actually learning stuff as well.
Yeah, I'm making notes as we go.
Yeah, this question wasn't just for us, but we're learning a lot.
Free consultancy for Vevolution, brilliant. Yeah. So let's talk about the digital world in which Ghost operates and which you help people with. What innovations are you currently excited about in terms of platforms, in terms of movements you see happening online? What is actually getting you excited?
I think the thing that gets me the most excited is seeing how incredible young people are making content. If I'm honest, that's the thing that's super, super exciting. Because when I was coming up, for want of a better phrase, in this industry, you know, and I remember in 2010, me and my creative director, who still works with me, we were photoshopping like heads on other people. And it just looked awful, but it was like back then, you know, like 10 years ago, that was like revolutionary content. I remember we had a festival client and we found this image of like, of the festival from like a helicopter. And we just put like literally in bold writing over the top of it. It's just like festival tickets soon. And it's like the best post we've ever seen in our lives. It's like, it's amazing how much content has come on in the last 10 years. So rather than like, am I interested in like TikTok? Not really. Am I interested in virtual reality? Not really. Am I interested in augmented reality? Not really. The thing that I'm most interested in is seeing the incredible creativity coming from the younger generation. That's what I think is just amazing, because I look at it and I go, wow, we're not even doing that. we're an agency with, you know, 10 years experience with incredible creatives, and we're not thinking like that. We're not making content that quickly, nor are we making it like in that sort of way. And the bigger agencies that look down to me look at Ghost and go, God, Ghost, how are you doing what you're doing? So there's this kind of like trickle-on effect, which is quite fascinating. Big agencies have no idea about social media. Like, hilariously enough, I'm not naming any names, but a lot of them come to us and white label us, and we do their social media for them. Probably not after they hear this, but I've not named any names, so it should be fine. And, you know, I'm looking now at the kind of these creators that are coming through and going, wow, how do I work with them? But the biggest problem is brands, 9 times out of 10, aren't innovative enough to look at it.
That's the thing. Headspace, right?
They just don't get it. The brands that have money don't generally get how to use it in a marketing way that's efficient. The brands that have no money do. And we're in the middle, right? We're in the middle of trying to go like, fuck, I want to work with that brand, but I just can't do anything for like £200. It's just really not possible. And then the big brands we work with that have got lots of money just want to do these kind of like really boring static shots. And you're just like, really? This is 2014 content you want to do right now. So the innovation, I think, right now is in younger people and people understanding, you know, how to continue to make content for social and making businesses out of that as well.
Yeah, and the thing is, I guess, the people who are now turning 20 years old, they've been growing up in the sort of the age of real social media. Like I said, they've been having their Instagram profile since they were 13. They've been creating their life, curating it every day for people. So they're doing it naturally. It's not like, you know, okay, I'm going to work and today I'm going to create content. Now, like, I get out of bed, I make my coffee, I make my breakfast, I'm creating from the moment I'm up. And so I guess it gives that authentic 100% feel, because that's just what they do.
And what's fascinating with that audience is not only are they making content, they're also analyzing content, right? They're the first audience that look at branded content and brands content and go, that's cool, or that's shit. Like, you actually see comments now on social media from young people on branded content going, who the fuck makes your content? This is awful.
I can do it better.
Yeah. It's like, it's amazing. It's the best thing ever. It's like, I literally retweet and like every single one. I don't really use social media, but in my mind, I retweet and like every single one of
just
those.
Tapping
like,
the screen.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Analog.
Banging the table.
And is this how you find people to like join your agency and to work with? Like through kind of looking at like younger generations' work, you know, seeing what they're doing online?
Yeah, we predominantly, first of all, have the worst recruitment policy ever, because if you don't know who we are, you're never going to apply for a job. Like, no one's going to apply. Like, we put like an advert out on LinkedIn. It's like, yeah, we're looking for like, you know, a social media manager for an agency that has no website, that has an office that you can't find. Are you interested? So that sounds so dodgy. So our recruitment policy is generally awful in terms of finding new people in that manner. So I'm almost like a music A&R person. Like I'm constantly looking and going, right, this is interesting, that's interesting. And it just seems to be right place, right time, they appear. It's really, really hard to say, but two people I remember hiring. One, I did a lecture at university that I used to go to. And as I said to the tutor there, I was like, who in the room right now is like, you know, is doing stuff that I should know? They were like, oh, there's this one guy called James who has paid for his whole, degree through Tumblr. And I was like, what? I was like, first of all, what's Tumblr? Like, literally, I was like, no one's on Tumblr anymore. This is maybe 4 years ago or so. I was like, no one's on Tumblr, let alone making money from Tumblr. I was like, I need to meet this guy. And then I met him and he explained to me what he was doing. And I said, look, do you want a job? Straight away.
What was he doing with Tumblr? How was he making money for it?
So similar to like how the meme accounts are making money through Instagram now. So he's just doing it through Tumblr. So he just had meme accounts on Tumblr and was selling T-shirts and sponsored posts.
That's unreal.
Wow, that's very creative.
But he was 18. Yeah, he'd have been 18 or 19. I can't remember how old he was. 18 or 19. And straight away, I was just like, there's a job if you want it. And he was like, yeah, of course. And that was it.
Amazing.
So it's an opportunity.
It seems to be that way. But I'm very focused on, because I came from being an intern to being where I'm at now, I'm very focused on grassroots rather than, you know, trying to find people that have got 12 years experience in marketing. Way more interested in finding people that have got 2 years on making their own social media accounts or whatever and want to take it professionally. That's far more interesting for us as an agency than someone that's got 15 years of marketing experience.
With what we do as well, it's so important that people just think in a different way and have the passion and the dedication and have that kind of like work ethic is like far more important than having those qualifications.
So important. It's so important. Like my social media knowledge in terms of like actual like day to day of like, you know, I've not posted on social media. I can't remember the last time I did post. Like apart from like sharing stuff on my Instagram stories when I get requests or whatever and like writing copy, I've not done any of this, you know, nor really understanding TikTok. I've not done any of it. But the people that work at Ghost understand this so much better than me because they're in that. They're the fabric of that culture. So they tell me and I trust them and I understand it. And what those young people don't have is they don't understand how to put it all into a strategy. They don't understand how to go, okay, how do I make a business from this? How do I create a strategy? How do I walk into a room with a bunch of clients and sell them something? They've got no idea how to do that, but they understand the core principles of social media right now. And I don't need to own it. I just don't need to know it anymore. I just don't need to know how TikTok works. Like, I just don't need to know the intricacies of TikTok. I just don't. It's just not important for me to know running a business. I know people will be like, that's crazy, run social media. It's not important because it comes down to those three key principles. I understand relationship when it comes to every single client. I understand attention. That's the focus that we've got to work on. And I understand relevance. Doesn't matter if it's TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, whatever, Facebook, Instagram stories. That's what I'm looking at when I go into clients.
I feel like you're kind of curating Ghosts in a way where your goal is to make it socially relevant, culturally relevant. It's almost like you said, a fabric. You're patching together people you think are culture shapers and, you know, influential within their spaces and saying, I'm just going to give you some direction, give you some guidance, bring you some opportunities, and you guys go out and create culturally relevant stories.
Yeah, absolutely. As a business owner for want of a better phrase, it's so important to delegate. I think this is one of the most important things that I've learned from, I mean, you know, running business for a decent period of time, is you can't be a master of everything. And even if you're not a business owner and you're a manager or you're a director or whatever level you're at, the most important thing is to hire someone better than you. That is the most important thing. It's like, don't be worried that they're going to come and get your job or anything like that. That's just bullshit. It's just like, hire people that are better than you, because then that allows you to go to the next stage. You know, all of the things that are out there that say, this is what you need to do. The algorithm is changing. Understand that 4 posts a day by hashtagging so-and-so will increase. This is just all bullshit. It's all absolute bullshit, right? Social media, in essence, is simple. I've already given you the three key principles: relationship, attention, and relevance. And how you actually combat those three is by understanding audience. Who is your audience? Who are you trying to target? What do they like? The second thing is understanding your identity. What do you look like online? Social media, you look with your eyes, right? You look, you consume your content with your eyes. You don't do anything else. So what you look like is essential. So your brand identity is essential, second point. And then the third point is tone of voice, which is what do you stand for? That equals relevance. So when you look at those three, audience, brand identity, and tone of voice, and you map them next to the three key principles, relationship is audience, right? Attention is your identity, and relevance is your tone of voice. That's all you've got to understand in social media, is literally those six things. You don't need to worry about how often do you post, what's the algorithm doing, what hashtag do I use, how much copy should I write, should I post a video or a photo, a GIF's important, should I do a meme? All of this stuff, not important. If you understand those six things and you actually fully understand them around your brand, all the other questions that are around social media won't bother you.
It's what you're saying is, you know, the basics of simple, clear communication and thinking about the customer. And, you know, it's very easy to get obsessed with tools and, like you say, algorithms, tactics. But actually, it's about the relevance you have as a business and how, what you stand for, and that being, having a mission, I guess, really, and being authentic. Because if you're not, young people especially are good at sniffing out bullshit, and they're good at, you know, identifying when brands are being inauthentic. So I think if you've got your eyes on the customer and the eyes on why you matter, you can create great content on any platform.
Yep. Simple as that. And it's harder for the bigger brands than it is the smaller brands. I think that's what's interesting. The bigger brands that have been established for a long time struggle with social media because they were built not in the social media era. They were built before that. So trying to find like authenticity and trying to find relevance is much harder for them. They almost have to buy it. Tone of voice is extremely important for social media. Extremely important. And I think it's also important to understand that it's fine for people to hate you. People are so focused on trying to make sure everyone loves them from a brand point of view. In fact, it's actually a bad thing. You actually want, you know, if you think about your audience being 100%, you actually want at least, I'd say, maximum 20% to hate you. Which you'll be like, what? What? That's ridiculous. Why? No, it's not. It means you've got a tone of voice that's resonating. Because the 80% will love you, right? It's basically, you have the following. You have a brand where no one really gives a fuck, right? Which is most brands. No one wakes up in the morning, right? And Googles brand X. I'm not going to name any names because I'll get in trouble. Coke, fuck it. Coke are never going to work for me anyway. So no one in the... And if they do, fantastic. Great, come along. They're not listening to this anyway. I can tell you that for sure. So no one wakes up in the morning and kind of Googles Coke and kind of thinks, oh, I wonder what Coke would do. I wonder what Coke's point of view is on COVID-19. I wonder what Coke would think about, like, you know, the summer, like the festival season. I wonder what they're thinking, right? No one thinks that, right? No one in the morning wakes up and thinks that. So from a brand point of view, you need to have a position on the world. You need to have a focus, whether you stand for the environment, whether you call out businesses that are, you know, kind of doing things that are not right. And you as a business call that out and say, this is a problem. We're doing this in this way and you can do it too. Don't think it's a problem. Being hated is a good thing.
It's like being an activist brand, right? Being an advocate brand. I just have to diverge a bit. There was this a couple of years ago, Coke did this like campaign with WWF, the environmental organization. And they went on the website, it was so shit. And there was like a polar bear wobbling around on a sort of iceberg. And it was like, we're going to give $250,000 to fight climate change. You know, this is like one of the biggest corporations in the world. Like, yeah, $250,000, that's going to make us look good. It's like, oh my God, they just don't understand.
Yeah. But again, they're buying it, right?
Yeah.
Comes back to that point I was mentioning. They're buying tone of voice. They can't establish themselves in it. But it is very hard for a business of that size that has been going for that long to then pivot and become all of a sudden some sort of like environmental business. And it's so honestly, it's so complicated. One of the businesses we worked with, remember them explaining to me, they were like, we are trying our best to be environmental and focus on that. But we sell 100 million units every single year in the UK. There isn't one supplier, this could be bullshit, I don't know that. There's not one supplier that can help us go plastic-free packaging. No one can make that demand right now. Whether or not that's true, who knows?
This is something me and Judy have talked about, actually. It's about the infrastructure to allow us to have a greener economy. It doesn't really exist. Like we find with our events, it's very difficult to even get the venues we work with to recycle. And actually, there are very few plants in the UK that can do mixed recycling, where you have, you know, maybe plastic and salt recycling and do it in an environmentally way. So actually, in terms of infrastructure, we're not set up to be a circular economy where we can reuse things and transform them into something new. That just doesn't exist in the UK.
And if you try and outsource it, it's really expensive, like especially for like a small company like ours, it's super expensive. So it is like really tricky.
So the barriers to actually being fully sustainable or more sustainable as a business, especially when you're at scale, are actually quite high.
It's so hard. It's so, so hard. But I think the way you tackle that as a business is to be honest about it, you know, hey everyone, we've tried to make the lid of our jam jar recyclable, and let me explain to you why it's not possible. It's not possible because in order for us to do that would mean we would actually only make 1p per unit, which would then mean we would go bankrupt within 3 months' time. So therefore, we've had to opt for this lid. We are trying a massive blog post on it that kind of explains the process behind buying, the process behind all of that, and to say, we are trying. If you can help, please let us know. Like, that comes down to relationship and honesty.
So moving on to the plant-based sector, are there any like businesses and sectors or innovations that are exciting you right now?
The plant-based sector in general has just been extremely exciting for probably, I'd say, maybe like 3 years now. Remember when I've been vegan for 6 or 5 years, I can't remember. Over the last 3 years, and the last 2 years in particular, the tipping point has just been insane. It's just been incredible. Like, you know, it's now to the point where, remember the reason when I saw the tipping point was Byron Burger did an advert, I can't remember what year it was, did an advert which was anti-vegan, which is, I don't know if you remember this, which is all about like, there's no vegan burgers here, we're all about meat, and it just got destroyed.
Yeah, it was vegan gourmet burger, I think, Gourmet Burger Kitchen. And yeah, Robbie from Plant-Based News subverted it, and he did a load of kind of creative work on sort of, yeah, taking a piss out of them, basically. And I think that was, I think that maybe was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago. Yeah. And it is massive, isn't it?
Yeah. And it just really backfired on them because I think even the meat eaters were like, well, I've got mates that want to come along and just have a vegan burger. It's like, this doesn't really make that much sense to just like be slagging off people for the sake of it. And then I think the year after they came out with a massive kind of like vegan range. I mean, literally now, if you're a restaurant and you don't have a vegan offering, you're going to die. Very, very soon, period. It's not even about like hardcore militant vegans, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, as a restaurant right now, it's essential you have and understand the vegan space. So I think in general, the thing that excites me is veganism and the plant-based movement and businesses becoming more accessible. They're still yet to really have, you know, a massive, massive impact. I mean, Beyond Meat has obviously had a massive impact, but it's still relatively quite small. I'm still waiting for a massive, massive like change. I mean, like something like Pret to come out and go, every Pret's now veggie. Like something huge, or every Pret in London is now veggie, or like a massive shift. I'm still waiting for somebody to bite the bullet, a big company that can see the future and go, let's do it now.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think everyone listening to this should check out an initiative called FAIR, FAIRR. And it's the Collier Foundation runs it. And it's, I guess, a group of wealth managers are looking into the impacts of factory farming on the environment, on animals. And they're producing these reports, which they're then going to the biggest companies in the world and saying, you guys need to do better. And they're going to the people who are investing their wealth and saying, as people managing assets, you need to move out of these companies because long-term, this isn't sustainable from a climate perspective, from a sort of ethics perspective where the world is moving. And there's really good reports that everyone can look into that. And if you're a company wanting to understand kind of where the future is going, I definitely recommend checking out that initiative. Quickly, just moving on to mindfulness and yoga. It's obviously something that's really important to you in your life and something you do religiously. And I know you recently opened a yoga studio in Reading. So just want to talk about your whole kind of yoga and meditation journey and the role it's playing in your life.
Yeah, so I opened a yoga studio 4 weeks before COVID-19 happened.
Terrible time.
So this has been an interesting challenge in indeed for a second business and working out those sorts of things. One of the most important things that I've noticed, I think, growing up and working is if you only do the following things, which is work and go out and get fucked up, you're going to be very unhappy for the foreseeable. It's like you have to have something that you're passionate about that is not your job and is not socializing. And for me, it was football when I was a kid, from what I can remember. It was making music in my kind of like teenage years, and now it's yoga. I think it's just essential. It's absolutely essential to have something that you have as a hobby. So like when I think about holidays, I'm kind of going, ah, oh, where can I go on a yoga retreat? When I'm thinking about books to read, I'm thinking, what should I read now? When I'm thinking, you see what I mean? It's just like, I haven't been bored since 1989 when I was born. Things like social media create a narrative where you're not good enough. You could be doing this job. Why are you not doing that? Why don't you look like this? Why aren't you earning this much money? Why don't you have this sort of life? I think it's really important to take a step away from that and focus on something that's important that you can do yourself that doesn't require anybody else's input.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. There's so much out there to explore in the world, and being a curious, a lifelong learner, I think is a really good attitude to approach, and one that you have.
And also with what's going on, like I think the way you're dealing with, you know, kind of obviously closing your studio is amazing, because you're doing like online virtual classes, aren't you?
Yeah, we just had to pivot straight away. It was just like, right, let's go.
What's the name of your studio so people can look it up?
Yeah, so the studio is called Yoginah, which is spelled Yoginah, and it's yoginah.com. So that's the website.
It has a website.
Yeah, it has a website. Yeah. that business is run very differently to Ghost. Yeah. I would love to have not had a website, but I don't think that would have worked. Just a mysterious yoga studio. A black door that just says enter for enlightenment.
So we're now going to go into the final part of the podcast. At the end of each episode, we ask our guests a series of quick fire questions. So I want you to answer these without thinking too much, just very quickly. I know you're good at this anyway. So firstly, why do you get up in the morning?
Do I have to do my yoga?
Perfect.
I have to do that, otherwise I'd never get out of bed.
Love that. What problem are you trying to solve with your business?
How to scale but still have a great authenticity behind us.
And so what has been the biggest resource that has impacted your business?
Oh, the biggest resource has basically been landing a couple of really big clients. That's the game changer in the agency space. I mean, you know, we work with the biggest retailer in the world. I won't name them, but, you know, read between the lines.
Amazing.
What are your top three books or podcasts you recommend to entrepreneurs?
Oh, man. Yes, books. Shit. Three. Right. The number one book you have to read, right? Seven Principles of Highly... What the fuck's it called? Steve Marcovi.
Seven Habits of Highly Effective...
Highly Effective People. Yeah, yeah. I've clearly not read it. that number one, I think that is the most important book that I think I've ever read on my career. That's the first one. So I would 100% recommend buy that book, read that book, study that book. Second thing, I think podcast-wise, which I think is a really, really good podcast, is How I Built This. And then the third thing I would also do is I'd read a book that's more around not business and something else. So, for example, I wouldn't necessarily recommend this, but one that's, I think, fairly easy and simple to read was like The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. That, like, something like that. Like, there's a lot better ones out there, but as a starting point, I think that's quite a nice one if you've never gone into this kind of this mindfulness angle.
And so lastly, what do you do to keep yourself sane? And I know the answer to this anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that I do is obviously yoga, etc., but I don't think you necessarily have to use yoga to do that. You have to do something that doesn't require you looking at your phone. You have to do something that doesn't require you laying in bed. And you have to do something that requires you to move your body. So whether it's running, cycling, swimming, walking in the woods, whatever, it's like daily you've got to do something that's like that. It's essential.
Yeah, that's a great goal to have.
Yeah, definitely.
Grayla, it's been fantastic to have you on the podcast, and thank you for everything you've been doing for plant-based businesses and just supporting us at Fevolution as well. We just really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
No worries. No worries at all.
Hi, plantpreneurs. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Plant-Based Business Podcast. It was produced by Fevolution, and this series is hosted by myself, Damien Clarkson, and my co-host, Julian Adele. before we go today, I have a quick favour to ask. At Fevolution, we believe in the power of business to positively impact the planet. This is why we created the podcast, to help accelerate the good work you're all doing in making the world a better place. But we need your support to keep this community going. We've created a new plant-based business community over on Patreon. For just a few pounds a month, you can support the show and growing and helping us to shine a light on the plant-based businesses changing the world. So please head on over to www.patreon.com/plantbasedbusiness and show your support for this podcast and the free content we create. Also, please remember to share this episode in your favourite social network. I can't tell you how much things like reviews and social shares help us and our mission to tell the world about the growth of the plant-powered business movement. You can find us on Instagram at plantbasedbusiness_ and @fevolution_. Okay, keep safe and we'll see you all again soon.